as an offering for the trillions of deaths we builders brought about in the past. It is the least I can do to help expedite my sins before the Creator. The swarm will annihilate humanity, Maddox said. Why should that bother you? Humans are the inferior species. Life is what counts. The swarm produces life in the greatest quantity. What other measure is there? Bugs aren't superior to humans. Which would survive under the harshest conditions? You and I both know the so-called bugs would. Maddox floated in the stellar room, stunned. The idea flummoxed him. The captain shook his head, forcing himself to think, to talk, and try to persuade the builder to a different course of action. Is Thrax T-X a normal swarm creature? Define normal, the builder said. Have you modified Thrax T-X? Of course, the builder said. It is another one of my parting gifts. We builders stymied their evolution once. I have now accelerated it. Maddox turned away, beginning to wonder if the builder was sane. Steeling himself, Maddox faced the darkness. He couldn't let the dimensions of the problem stifle his thinking. He had to outwit the builder. Yet was such a thing even possible? Yes, he had to find its weakness, its vulnerabilities. It would seem that guilt before the Creator was the sore spot. He would attack it there until the thing grew weary of him and killed him, or he succeeded. Maddox had to win not just his life, but also the life of all humanity. It was a goal worth every effort. Chapter 44. This is very interesting, Maddox said. I admit that my thinking is limited. Floating in this chamber, however, and speaking with an exalted intelligence such as you, has begun to broaden my scope.
I find that doubtful, although it is reasonable my presence should stimulate you.
Your words have washed over me like waves. I am drenched with new possibilities and new ways of seeing reality. Can you forgive me for my former outbursts against you?
The builder was silent for a time. Finally, it said,
I am seeking the Creator's forgiveness. It would be surly of me to withhold forgiveness to one so far beneath me at the same time.
That part troubles me. Your exalted nature, I mean.
How so?
The builder asked.
Your concepts outstrip my own.
That is true. Yet I don't see how it could be otherwise.
No doubt, no doubt, Maddox said. For instance, I'm having a hard time understanding your modification of Thrax T-X.
I thought you might, as the commander is a swarm Captain Maddox.
What?
It is like you, a hybrid.
Oh.
The word hybrid does not trouble you now.
Maddox shook his head. If the commander is like me, it's no wonder we clashed.
No, the builder said. That would have happened in any case. Swarm creatures stamp out all life that is non-swarm. That Thrax did not do so immediately is a testament to his hybrid nature.
Interesting, Maddox said. By the way, isn't it wrong to simply stamp out life?
Not for swarm creatures, the builder said.
It's wrong for a builder to stamp out life, but not for a swarm creature?
That is correct, the builder said. And that is so because the swarm is the most successful life form in our galaxy. Oh, Maddox said as if deep in thought. I think I understand. We know they're the most successful because they kill everyone else.
That is one way to say it.
Interesting, Maddox said. I guess that would make the nameless ones the most successful life form in the universe.
No, they were pure killers.
Just like the swarm, Maddox said.
No, no, the builder said. You do not understand. The swarm kills, but they also construct world-sized hives. The nameless ones only destroyed, never built.
They built the destroyers, Maddox said.
Yes, but that was the only thing they built. The swarm makes hives on 1,000 worlds. That is the essence of life, to build, to grow, to expand with life.
That would make you builders the highest life form, Maddox said.
No, we lost our spirit. The swarm does not have the same type of spirit, thus it lacks our weakness.
Maddox closed his eyes. His head had begun to throb from all these conflicting concepts. He pushed the pain aside, though, concentrating on the moment. Did you put cybernetic interfaces in Thrax TX? Maddox asked.
Of course.
The commander is not fully swarm, then?
Incorrect. The commander is a superior swarm, a hybrid creature.
The commander is superior because it is more like a builder now? Maddox asked.
The builder did not respond.
I am beginning to suspect that your vast age has clouded your thinking, Maddox said.
You may be right. I am unsure. Speaking with you has been a mistake. I yearn for certainty. It is the chief reason I desire an ending. Thrax TX begged me to forego this conversation. The commander suggested... Well, it doesn't matter.
Did Thrax suggest the test in the glass cell?
It did indeed, the builder said.
Maddox clapped his hands. The darkness recoiled from him.
Do not do that again. I detest the noise. What was that supposed to signify?
I believe the Creator just spoke to me, Maddox said, thinking quickly.
Why would the Creator speak to a hybrid like you when I am right here?
Why wouldn't the Creator speak to me? In fact, I may be the obvious choice. Humanity yearns to live. Thus, in me... It asks you, why do you wish to annihilate us?
I do not wish such a thing,
the builder said. You are releasing the swarm upon humanity, giving them warships they never made.
We destroyed many more warships of theirs 6,000 years ago.
That was your error, not ours. You are causing us grief for your guilt.
I am making restitution for our savagery in the past, the builder said.
Maddox laughed scornfully. That's some restitution you have going. You murdered one group 6,000 years ago, and now are ensuring the mass murder of another by giving the swarm an unfair advantage against us. Your sense of right and wrong is very odd indeed.
I must do this in order to pay for my wrongs, the builder said.
Don't you know that you can't pay for them?
You cannot know such a thing.
You didn't let me finish, Maddox said. You can't pay for your wrongs as a mass murderer by making sure another mass murder takes place. And to think that you're doing this for life, it's a joke on a vast scale, but a joke just the same.
I have grown weary of your bombastic statements. It is time.
Let us fight, Maddox said.
You desire to fight me?
The builder asked in wonder. No, Maddox said. I desire to fight for survival. You want a test.
I'll give you a test. Release my crew, release the professor, the port admiral and his people, and the humans in the sphere, and let us duke it out with the swarm in their new warships.
They will destroy you.
I accept that, if they can do it. I'm here to tell you, though, that I'll destroy them. In that way, I'll prove myself a better champion for life than them.
By killing?
The builder asked. I'm using the same measure you are, one that will doom humanity to extinction. The least you could do is not be a hypocrite about all this.
It would take time for Thrax T-X to gather the swarms to their warships.
Maddox had wondered about that, hoping it was so. He said, "Survival of the fittest, isn't that your credo?"
Hearing it from you makes the concept seem sordid.
I can tell you why that is if you want me to, Maddox said.
Please tell me, the builder said.
I still have spirit. You've lost yours, which is why you wish to end your life. In fact,
give me silence,
the builder said in an ominous tone. Maddox fell silent. The two of them floated in the stellar chamber. The darkness drifted away from Maddox, with the blinking lights slowly moving along the builder's head area. After a span, the darkness moved closer again.
I have decided, the builder said in a soft voice. You have the right to life. You did not ask for help, but the chance to fight for survival. I suspect the battle between you two will destroy the sphere. I will thus remain here and die in my guilt. It is a fitting end, the two champions of life battling over the remains of the builders.
I do have one request, Maddox said.
You disappoint me. What is it?
I would like a hyperspatial tube in order to return home to human space.
Let me ponder the request.
Once more, the builder drifted away. It returned sooner this time.
I will agree, but I will also give Thrax T-X a tube. I will give the commander the chance to bring its fleet and jump technology to the Swarm Empire in a single bound across space. Do you agree to this condition?
Yes, Maddox said.
It would have been better for you to deliberate such a thing, but you have made your choice. So be it. Now go, Captain. I have become weary of your presence. You have stolen what little peace I had attained. Now I wish the end to come as soon as possible.
Maddox might have said more, but he winked out of the builder's presence. He vanished from the stellar chamber, finding himself in a room with Ludendorff, Meta, Riker, Admiral Hayes, and three small people wearing elaborate suits. It was time to get ready for the final builder test. Chapter 45. Admiral Fletcher woke up by degrees. A harsh chemical stench was the first thing he noticed. He wanted to turn his head to get away from the smell, but he found that impossible to do.
Where am I?
Was his first silent question. It was quickly followed by,
what happened to me?
He remembered Pa Kerr's interrogation. The new man had gone berserk. He'd moved so fast, like a fly one tried to catch but couldn't. Pa Kerr had shot the Marines, shot the one-way glass, and attacked. Yes, now, Fletcher recalled, he'd had a force blade, clicking it on and shoving the raw energy into the new man. That should have been the end of it.
I thought I'd died.
Fletcher opened his eyes. He saw blurry shapes over him. Were they operating? It seemed likely. Maybe it wasn't time to wake up. Maybe he should close his eyes. He did, opening them later in the dark. He tried to talk, but no one heard him. That was just as well.
He was already tired and wanted to go back to sleep. The third time he opened his eyes, a nurse smiled at him.
Hello,
he whispered.
Hello, Admiral,
she said.
Is it bad?
He whispered. Her smile became the sweetest thing he'd ever seen.
Not anymore, sir. We've all been waiting for you to wake up.
Is the fleet? She put a warm hand on his arm. He loved her touch. He hoped she never let go.
The doctor is coming. He can explain the situation better than I can, sir. Until then, just relax.
Fletcher must have fallen asleep again, because the fourth time he woke up, the captain of Antietam stood by his bed. She frowned down at him as he opened his eyes.
Oh, she said, stepping back. I should go.
Hold it,
Fletcher said. He spoke a little louder than a whisper. This time he had more clarity of mind. He realized that he had been out for a while. Doctors had operated on him. It had taken him time to recuperate. The captain moved up to the bed. Fletcher turned his head on the pillow. It took time. He turned back toward the captain, his eyes searching.
Is there anything I can do for you, sir? She asked.
Yes. Raise the bed so I'm not lying here like an invalid.
The captain picked up a clicker, pressing it. The bed raised the admiral's head and torso.
That's good,
Fletcher said. He was breathing harder and his head began to hurt.
I should call the doctor, the captain said.
No, Fletcher said breathlessly. I want a situation report, and I want it now.
We're several jumps from the Thebes system, the captain said, appearing nervous.
What else? Fletcher said. What are you hiding?
Third Admiral Bishop is in nominal command of the Grand Fleet.
What?
Fletcher said in a hoarse voice.
I'm out a few days and that blue-nosed bastard grabs the reins. You never should have let that happen. That scoundrel, that dog of a Windsor League.
Here now, tall Earl Bishop said, stepping forward. I might begin to resent those words.
Fletcher was breathing hard with a rattle in his throat. A doctor hurried into the chamber, glancing at Fletcher, Bishop, and then Fletcher again.
Everyone out, he said.
Belay that order, Fletcher wheezed. I want to get to the bottom of this.
Sir, the doctor said.
Stand down, I said, Fletcher wheezed.
I'm perfectly fine.
I would oblige you, doctor, Bishop said, but this is too important.
What in blazes are you babbling about?
Fletcher demanded.
Admiral, the doctor said, you're delirious.
I certainly am not, Fletcher said. I'm dead tired. I sound awful, but I am quite lucid. What is the matter? Why is Bishop here to murder me in my sleep and solidify his hold on command?
The Windsor League Earl looked away, turning a crimson color.
Sir, Antietam's captain said, you have it all wrong, sir. It isn't like that at all.
Fletcher felt his heart flutter and his face grow cold.
This is too much, the doctor said.
Give me a stimulant, Fletcher said.
The doctor shook his head.
Do it, Bishop said.
Fletcher squinted at the tall Earl. Was he being foolish? Would he kill himself if he accepted a stimulant? Maybe he should. A hypo hissed as it injected a stimulant into him. Fletcher stared at the offensive medical instrument and then at the doctor. The man wouldn't meet his eyes. Bishop faced him again, putting his longer fingers on the cot's rail. The Earl didn't wear his monocle. He looked better without it, more human.
I'm afraid I've been something of an ass, Admiral, Bishop said. I'm here to admit it to you and, well, to tell you I'm sorry.
What?
Fletcher said. Was he hearing right? Bishop nodded.
I'm not often in the wrong, and when I am, I can maneuver my way out of trouble. You've been right all down the line, Admiral. I'm not too small of a noble to see that. The truth, sir, is that the fleet needs you, and I need you. The men and women don't trust me like they trust you. I've kept everyone in place and doing it, as you said, for some time.
How you knew to attack those star cruisers in the Hades system, I will never know. That, and losing more hammer ships, showed me you know what you're talking about when it comes to facing the new men. They're a cunning bunch, but you're better than they are, Admiral.
Am I delirious?
Fletcher asked the doctor. The doctor had a hard time keeping a smile off his face.
You heard correctly, Admiral.
Fletcher eyed the tall Windsor League noble.
Are we in trouble?
Possibly, Bishop admitted.
You need me to talk to the crews.
I do.
That's it, is it?
Fletcher asked.
That's why you're here, saying you're sorry. Now see here, old chum, I mean what I've been saying.
Stow it, Bishop,
Fletcher wheezed.
I'm not interested. We're in a war, and the new men are near, is that right?
I believe so, Bishop said.
Doctor,
the Admiral said,
how long do I have to think clearly?
The doctor checked his watch. A half hour, perhaps, no more than 45 minutes more. You're still very fragile, sir. Fletcher pondered that.
Tell me the situation, he told Bishop.
The Earl cleared his throat.
As the captain said, we're several jumps from the Thebes system.
Which means we've been advancing fast, Fletcher said.
We have, Bishop said.
You've been taking risks to get us here fast, too, haven't you?
I don't deny it.
How many ships have you lost so far?
3 battleships, 15 cruisers, and 29 destroyers, Bishop said.
What the bloody hell have you been doing with my fleet?
Fletcher shouted hoarsely. The Earl stiffened and his features turned crimson again.
He did damage 9 star cruisers, Antietam's captain said. The new men were tricky, though. They managed to...
Damaged,
Fletcher shouted.
He damaged a few enemy vessels, did he?
You must calm yourself, Admiral, the doctor said. If you keep this up, you'll have a relapse.
How many star cruisers did you destroy?
Fletcher asked, panting as he did. Bishop shook his head. Fletcher gasped as he went limp, staring up at the ceiling. He could feel strength and energy leaving him. He couldn't let himself get so angry. Bishop had lost 47 combat vessels. That was...
I have found critical intelligence, Bishop said. I dare say this intelligence was worth the lost vessels.
Fletcher stared at him. Could this be true? They needed something for all those losses.
A patrol frigate reached the Thebes system, Bishop said. The captain was a cagey fellow, managing to slip out, barely making it back to the Grand Fleet. I lost the 3 battleships and most of the destroyers, making sure he reached us. It's clear the new men didn't want the frigate bringing us its news. I gambled on the vessel, I admit it. Fortunately, the patrol officer's report was quite illuminating.
What did he see?
Fletcher whispered.
Tell me while I'm still awake.
The orbital space around Thebes 3 is crammed with haulers of every description, Bishop said. Every missing vessel of Sea Quadrant must be there. Shuttles are bringing them cargoes hourly. More haulers are entering orbit, while the full ones blast off for an inner system Llama point that takes them out of Sea Quadrant. In other words, they're heading into the beyond.
The haulers might be hightailing it to the throne world, Fletcher whispered.
I deem that very possible, Bishop said. Or they could be heading to Parthia or Odin.
Fletcher recalled those systems, independent planets, the first to feel the new men's wrath.
The patrol frigate also recorded mass readings from Thebes 3's surface, Bishop said. This is wonderful news, Admiral. The readings can only be one thing, the missing peoples of Sea Quadrant.
Fletcher stared at the third admiral.
Yes,
he said finally.
That is good news.
Wonderful news, as you say.
There's one more item, Bishop said. The enemy's main fleet is concentrated there. The frigate captain counted 57 star cruisers.
Fletcher felt himself go cold. We still badly outnumber them, Bishop said.
Fletcher grunted.
I know you're weak, the third admiral said.
I wouldn't ask this unless it was critical. Firstly, let me say that I understand better your caution concerning the new men. It was well-founded. You also may be the only one among us who can pierce some of their traps. The Grand Fleet needs your cunning, old chum. And it needs your words. If you are able, we need you to talk to the commanders as you did the day you faced down the enemy's decoy forces. The officers, the men too, trust you, Admiral.
I lack their trust. I've lost too many ships for that. Morale is dropping. This is the moment to maneuver our way into the Thebes system and stop whatever the new men are doing. This is the time to annihilate their invasion armada.
57 star cruisers are not so easy to annihilate, Fletcher said.
9 of them have sustained damage, Bishop said. Some of that heavy damage.
That will help, Fletcher admitted.
What did you say, sir?
Fletcher raised an arm. It took some doing. He rubbed his gritty eyes. He could feel his body's weakness striving to pull him back under.
I am weak, the admiral said. I can't give that talk yet, not in any meaningful way.
It would probably kill you to do something like that now, the doctor said.
Here's what I can do,
Fletcher told the third admiral.
I want situational reports. I'll look for their traps when I'm awake. But for the day-to-day running of the Grand Fleet, you will continue to issue the commands.
Bishop appeared troubled.
You think that makes you too much of a figurehead?
The tall Earl shook his head.
I have miscalculated. The new men are better than I expected. I don't want to lose our side any more fighting ships. I may have disgraced my family house.
Fletcher became thoughtful. He had lost his nerve after facing the new men. The Lord High Admiral had seen something in him and had pushed him back into the arena. Maybe he had been too hard on Bishop. Maybe he had just seen the Earl's grasping ways, unable to see the good in the man.
We're going to work together,
Fletcher whispered.
Bishop stared at him.
You're going to win glory for your house by rolling up your sleeves and facing the toughest opponents in the universe. I'll work on recovering faster and thinking deeply on the enemy's dispositions, but I need you, Third Admiral, to hold this fleet together by using all your political cunning and maneuvering of people.
Slowly, Bishop nodded.
I'll save my speech to the men for later,
Fletcher whispered. He could feel himself slipping under. He had already started slurring his words.
Is that a deal?
It is, old chum,
Bishop said.
Then get started,
Fletcher said.
Yes, sir,
the Earl said, saluting smartly before heading for the exit. Chapter 46. The next 6 days proved hectic beyond anything Maddox had known. Without Ludendorff's vast knowledge and cunning, the process would have taken considerably longer. The 3 smaller people, 2 men and 1 woman, were from the Kike House, the last surviving humans on the Dyson Sphere. The 3 were the elders of approximately 10,000 humans left. During this time, Maddox had learned they were a technologically perceptive people using ad hoc equipment. That meant they knew how to build and operate neutron and disruptor cannons and ad hoc shields. Their advanced weapons were all that stood in the way between them and annihilation from the endless swarm hordes. Port Admiral Hayes told Maddox what had happened to the flotilla in the Xerxes system. It was close to what the captain had expected. After many days of careful scouting, the flotilla had approached the Nexus. Just as had happened with Victory, a hyperspatial tube had sucked them into the Dyson sphere system. There, the saucer craft had indeed incapacitated the ship's computer systems. Soon thereafter, gas canisters had attached to each Star Watch vessel, rendering the crews unconscious. After that, the Port Admiral couldn't say what had happened. For weeks now, each of them had been in a separate glass cell. The new lease on life caused everyone to work overtime with zeal. During the first 2 days, the Kai Kaus fought 3 major engagements against masses of swarm soldiers on the sphere's inner surface. The swarm attacks never stopped. The last 1,000 Kai Kaus died at their posts, so the rest could escape into the substructure and the waiting spacecraft outside. It was a bitter race, loading people and high-tech cargoes onto Victory and the Port Admiral's ships. 10,000 Kai Kaus among the various spaceships meant Victory was near capacity, for the first time under Star Watch's control. "It looks like Star Watch scientists won't have to study you anymore," Maddox told a revived galleon on the bridge. "With the Kai Kaus and their imports, we can start arming new starships with ad hoc technology as soon as we get back to Earth."
"You are optimistic about defeating Commander Thrax T-X here," Galleon said.
"I'm hoping the bug's lack of familiarity with its new ships will give us a winning edge."
"The swarm creature may have been studying the craft for some time."
"I hope you're wrong," Maddox said.
"I am monitoring the sphere while we speak," Galleon said. "I know the Port Admiral also has his people watching it. The problem is that the sphere's mass is simply too much. Thrax T-X could come out on the other side. He might already be out advancing to do battle with hundreds of starships under his control."
"I have a plan," Maddox said.
"The disruptor cannon can destroy some of the Dyson sphere," Galleon said. "That will not be enough to demolish the entire structure quickly enough to destroy the swarm's new space navy."
"I never thought it would."
"You cannot mean a stand-up battle against them," Galleon said. "We lack the numbers to defeat them."
"True," Maddox said.
"I admit to bafflement, Captain," the AI said. "What is your plan?"
"You and I are going to defeat them," Maddox said, "along with some stolen builder tech to help us."
"You should have already informed me of my part of the task." Maddox raised his right arm. A wristband blinked on it. He tapped the band.
"Have you found it, Professor?"
A tiny screen showed a sweaty Ludendorff.
"It's in my possession, but this is..."
The older man shook his head.
"I want you on Victory on the double, Professor," Maddox said. "I don't know how much longer we have. Can you be here in an hour?"
"Make it 2,
Ludendorff said.
"No, make it a half hour."
The captain had noticed Valerie waving to him. She pointed at a screen. He nodded, seeing strange spaceships easing out of a vast opening in the sphere's outer skin.
"Is the swarm coming through?"
Ludendorff asked from the wristband.
"Yes, Professor," the captain said. "Our time has just run out. Get here as fast as you can."
Chapter 47. The Kai Kaus were crammed aboard the 2 Bismarck-class battleships, the 3 Star Watch strike cruisers, 5 destroyers, 2 escorts, 3 supply vessels, and Starship Victory. None of the Kai Kaus' advanced technology had been fitted to the ships, although a chief technician was on each bridge to help the commanders. Together with the Kai Kaus' baggage, it made for an incredibly tight fit aboard each vessel. The Leipzig and Vienna led the way toward the latest sphere opening. They were old battle wagons, heavy on the hull armor with heavy mount lasers. They did not boast the latest wave harmonics shielding, one of the reasons the Lord High Admiral had sent them to the Xerxes system rather than C Quadrant to face the new men. Behind the 2 bruisers came the strike cruisers. The rest of the flotilla stayed at a Luna-like distance from the sphere. They had spread out, watching the sphere for other openings. It seemed likely to everyone, especially the Kai Kaus technicians, that the first swarm move was a deception.
The first gambit usually was, they said.
Come on, Maddox said.
The ancient Adok vessel was midway between Hayes's battle wagons and the others. The captain hadn't expected Thrax T-X to move so quickly. He'd hoped the logistics problem would give the swarm commander nightmares. He'd also hoped the hybrid bug didn't have many space commanders yet. It looked as if Maddox had been wrong on both counts.
There, sir,
Valerie said. She tapped her board. On the main screen, Maddox saw another hatch open on the sphere. A shuttle blasted out of there. That was Ludendorff, with Keith piloting. They were the last humans on the Dyson sphere, not counting any final Kaikaus volunteers who had survived on the inner surface. As the shuttle raced for victory, swarm craft continued to slide out of the huge opening, the place the battleships maneuvered to.
I see 7 enemy ships so far, Valerie said. They're big, too.
Maddox nodded. The 7 craft were saucer-shaped with a massive ball in the center. Each had a little more mass than a Star Watch cruiser. That meant the swarm already had an equal tonnage of spaceships outside the sphere as Star Watch did. Heavy beams lanced from Leipzig and Vienna. Maddox sat forward on the command chair with his right hand bunched into a fist. He waited, waited. A cheer erupted from the lieutenant and the Kaikaus technician on the bridge. She was a slight woman, wearing an elaborate uniform with outrageous collars that almost hid her elfin chin. Her name was Lady Shana, and she wore a mohawk like the Native American tribe of that name. She wore gloves with tiny tools in the fingertips, and had proven herself a technical wizardess so far. Valerie and Lady Shana cheered because the lasers struck swarm hulls. Either the saucers didn't have shields or swarm soldiers didn't know how to turn them on yet. The Leipzig and Vienna pounded the first saucer, burning away hull armor so giant globules wobbled away into space. The swarm craft fired back with particle beams. They combined on the Leipzig, brightening the shield to a cherry color. The Kaikaus techs had helped in one endeavor there, able to quicken the energy bleed-off from the shield. That allowed the Leipzig to absorb a greater amount of energy before the shield faded to brown. At that point, the first targeted saucer blew apart in a mass of metal, water, squirming swarm creatures, and expanding air. Heat and gamma rays also radiated outward. The other swarm craft stopped firing. The 2 battle wagons picked a new target, starting on the next saucer. That's when the enemy craft showed their true power. The ball parts glowed radiantly, and the ships began to move with incredible velocity. The 6 saucers charged the 2 battle wagons. In doing so, they made room for more swarm craft to burst out of the sphere opening. Maddox shook his head. He didn't like this. Port Admiral Hayes must have disapproved as well. One of the strike cruisers eased forward, launching a salvo of antimatter missiles. The minutes ticked away as the battleships destroyed another 2 saucers. The first wave survivors began firing the particle beams again. That's when the antimatter missiles ended the fight, blowing the rest of the saucers in chain reaction annihilations. By that time, though, another 7 saucers had renewed the process.
The swarm commander is baiting us, Lady Shana said. She had a translator app to help her communicate with them.
Why do you say that? Maddox asked.
This is a ruse, she said. The real attack is gathering elsewhere.
I suspect you're right, Maddox said. What do you suggest we do?
Lady Shana grew tight-faced.
We must kill the creatures while we can. Once we can't, we die. That is the only philosophy in battle.
Maddox nodded. After the 5th saucer assault of 7 perished to heavy lasers and antimatter missiles, Keith brought the professor onto victory. Maddox hurried to Galleon's AI core chamber. As he did, Valerie appeared on his wristband comm.
Yes, the captain asked.
I'm patching the port admiral through to you, sir.
The tiny screen wavered for a second. Then Port Admiral Hayes appeared, an older man with sunken eyes.
I'm running low on antimatter missiles, Hayes said promptly. The Leipzig has already blown a laser coil. We can't keep this up for long.
What else do you suggest, sir?
Maddox asked.
How far are you with your plan?
I hope to start testing it soon, sir.
What does that even mean?
Fight until you can't, sir.
Yes?
If the enemy is still around after that, we die. The port admiral stared at him.
Yes, Captain, that we will. Good luck, son.
Yes, sir. To you too, Maddox said. The screen wavered once more, going black. Maddox broke into a sprint. This was going to be tight, and he had no doubt the saucer ships were a swarm feint, as Lady Shauna had suggested. That was okay, though, because they still had some time. As long as they had wiggle room and victory, he might be able to save the human race from this unsuspected menace. He wasn't as sanguine about saving the Kaikous and victory. They had to do this right the first time, because he didn't think Thrax TX was going to give them another. Professor Ludendorff, Lady Shauna, and Maddox, working as a gopher, attempted to install a builder AI box into Galleon's computing core. I still do not see how this will aid us, Galleon said, watching from the hatch. For whatever reason, the Addox had decided long ago a hollow image could not enter its own AI core. It's easy, Galleon, at least in theory, Maddox said. Ludendorff and Lady Shauna carefully made adjustments with tools Maddox had no idea how they operated. The captain was trusting Ludendorff, which might have future repercussions. He hoped the professor had too much on his mind to worry about subterfuge for later. Once or twice, the professor eyed the captain speculatively. Maddox hoped it was his imagination. He hoped Ludendorff wasn't putting a new back door into Galleon. Did the professor think this was as wild a long shot as Galleon did? Do you remember what you did in Greenland? Maddox asked the AI. Do you mean in my taking over the system's computers? Galleon asked. Exactly, Maddox said. Go on. I'm hoping with this box installed, you'll have more understanding concerning builder tech. Maybe just as important, you'll be able to appear on the Dyson sphere as a hollow image.
I suspect you're right, Galleon said. How will that help us?
I'm going to piggyback on you, Maddox said.
That is impossible. You are flesh and blood.
The professor is rigging it so my engrams can go over as a program.
You are going to make a copy of yourself?
No, Maddox said. The very idea made him queasy. The professor will put a brain amplifier on my head. That will energize a temporary engram program that can piggyback with you onto the Dyson sphere.
For what reason? Galleon asked.
I'm going to seek out the builder one more time and keep him occupied.
That is a dubious proposal, Galleon said. By your account, he or it is unstable.
Commander Thrax TX is going to win, Galleon.
Then why are we fighting? The AI asked.
Thrax is going to win unless we can figure out a way to destroy the Dyson sphere in one giant orgy of destruction, Maddox said. While I'm distracting the builder, you're going to figure out how to blow the whole sphere.
That is not rational, Captain. We lack sufficient firepower to destroy a sphere of a star system's worth of mass.
You're not listening, Maddox said. You're going to use the sphere's systems, blowing up every circuit and engine in one instant of time.
That will work? Galleon asked.
I don't know. Will it?
I am analyzing, Galleon said. The hollow image froze with his eyelids fluttering. The eyes snapped open an instant later. That is an ingenious plan, Captain. If it works, it could cause a vast explosion, destroying everything on the sphere.
We need more than that, Maddox said. We have to destroy the sphere in such a way that all the debris, the system mass of it, blows inward at Thrax TX's fleet.
Captain, Galleon said, that is pure genius, if of an evil sort.
No, Galleon, that shows my fitness for survival.
I do not understand.
Quiet, you two, Ludendorff snarled. This is incredibly difficult. Nothing is going to happen if I can't link this blasted device to the core.
Maddox nodded. It was time to let the experts do their part. 2 hours later, Maddox was back on the bridge,
The endless supply of swarm saucers had finally taken its toll on the flotilla. Battleship Vienna limped away as coils of energy burst through broken hull armor. The battleship had destroyed 43 saucers, 7 of the kills taking place while Vienna's shield was down. The antimatter missiles were gone. It was just conventional missiles now, with laser turrets and destroyer guns to slow down the enemy.
"How many spaceships are inside the sphere?"
Valerie asked. "It's not the number of ships they have," Maddox said. "But if we have enough time to stop them before they're through."
"How did you figure we could win?"
the lieutenant asked.
"It seemed like a good idea at the time."
She shot him a glance. "The alternative was quick death," Maddox said. Valerie was about to reply when a bright light flared on the main screen. Battleship Vienna blew up. One moment, the battleship's damage control teams tried to bring the fires and spurting coils under control. The next, something went critical over there. Hull plates blew away and flames roared in gigantic funnels from various places on the battleship. The dying battle wagon began to tumble end over end. A few escape pods raced away. X-rays reached out, killing everyone who made it into a pod. No one survived the Vienna's death, not even the countless Kaikaus who had hoped to leave the sphere.
"So it begins,"
Lady Shauna whispered. She had come to the bridge for a kit she'd stashed here.
"Hail to he who is nameless, the one who begins and the one who ends life."
"More saucers are coming through the hangar hatch," Valerie said. "Uh-oh. They're not just bringing out 7 this time. I count 14. They brought out 14 saucers in a group."
"The port admiral must see that too," Maddox said. "He's bringing up his destroyers."
"For what it's worth, sir, I'd rather fight to the end than simply die in bed or in a cage doing nothing."
"Truth," the Lady Shauna said.
Maddox sat back. It had seemed so simple while in the stellar chamber. The builder. A red light blinked on his armrest. Maddox pressed a button.
"Yes."
"It's ready,"
Ludendorff said, his voice ringing with success, but tired nonetheless.
"Will it work?"
Maddox asked. Ludendorff brayed a harsh sound.
"My boy, I have no idea. It's a long shot, and I would never think to try it against a builder. I think the builder must have coded something in me to worship it. But that doesn't matter now. This is worth a try."
"I'm on my way," Maddox said.
"Lieutenant," he said. Valerie whipped around, her eyes wide. "You have the bridge," Maddox said.
"It's time."
"Good luck, sir,"
she said.
"Tell me to win," he said.
"Sir,"
she said.
"Yes."
"Beat the builder and this Thrax TX bastard,"
Valerie said. Maddox nodded as he hurried for the exit. That's exactly what he was going to try to do.
Chapter 48. Maddox sat back in a chair as Lady Shauna settled a silver band over his forehead.
"Are you ready, Captain?"
Galleon asked from the open hatch.
"I am," Maddox said. "Are you?"
"Let us begin the adventure," the hollow image said.
Lady Shauna went to a bank of controls. A builder AI box glowed with various colors nearby.
"You shouldn't feel anything," she said.
Maddox waited.
"Maybe you'll feel a little something,"
Ludendorff said quietly. The professor tapped controls. Lady Shauna typed upon hers. Maddox grew sleepy. Then it felt as if a river of fire burned on his skull. He arched back and tried to roar. Nothing came out of his mouth, though. The fire burned as if the metal would sink through his forehead. The agony grew. Maddox lost the use of his vision then. The stench of the chamber disappeared. He no longer heard. The sense of touch departed.
"Hello, Captain."
Maddox turned around, although he didn't know where he was.
"Who's there?"
Maddox said, although he didn't hear the words exactly.
"Wait a moment. There. You should be able to see now."
Maddox did. It was a blue world of circuitry and glowing connections. Nearby was a shape of zeros and ones.
Is that you, Galleon? Yes, Captain. You appear much different than before.
I'm in your world now.
No, Galleon said. You merely sense in my world. Are you ready?
Let's do this, Maddox said, wondering why he didn't feel pain anymore. He was still in the chair with the band around his head, but his senses were now with the self or personality of the AI. In a flash of computed time, the self of Galleon leapt across the stellar distance from Victory to the Dyson sphere. Maddox was stunned as the images impinged upon his senses. They came so fast from so many directions, it was disorienting.
Do you know what to do? Maddox asked.
Oh, yes. I can link the countless systems, but even at computer speed, this is going to take time. Captain, the builder is coming. I must...
You are an industrious mite, the builder said softly. Come, we will finish the interview.
A new pain filled Maddox. Something remorseless ripped him from Galleon. The captain didn't know it, but his body in the computer core chamber on Victory began to buck and thrash. His life signs began to deteriorate immediately.
You are dying, Captain, the soft voice builder said.
Maddox felt himself to be back in the stellar chamber. The darkness that was the builder had become more pronounced, while the stars were harder to see than last time.
You have separated yourself from your body, the builder said. You have done so mechanically, yet the results are the same, as if you had achieved a psychic separation. Without the integration of the ADOC computer, your body cannot sustain itself for long.
It is of small matter, Maddox said.
You wish to achieve non-being?
Not particularly, Maddox said. But I'm curious concerning the Creator. This will bring me the knowledge more quickly than otherwise.
Practicing self-death is wrong, the builder said.
You're doing it?
I have been shutting down sustaining systems. When they stop, my organic process will be unable to sustain me. I will die of natural causes.
Yet you're willing yourself to die. Yourself dying. That is wrong. Perhaps the Creator will punish you for it.
I hope not.
What is your verdict between Commander Thrax and me? Maddox asked.
Your side will lose the struggle soon after your body ceases to be. Commander Thrax TX is about to burst through the sphere. I will give Thrax a hyperspatial tube to expedite the Commander's conquest of human space. Instead of working outward in, the Commander will begin in the center at Earth and conquer his way outward. I am curious as to how the new men will defend against the swarm. Alas, but I will be gone by then.
Did you know I could not win?
I gave you less than a 1% chance.
Well, you gave me the chance. I appreciate that.
I find your gratefulness surprising. It is not like your former persona. Something is different. I perceive.
Maddox tried to shield his thoughts, having no idea if the builder could read them, since they would likely be thoughts in zeros and ones right now.
Captain Maddox, the builder said, you have attempted a ploy against me. I cannot say I approve.
Isn't the only verdict success or not?
Not altogether, the builder said. I thought I made this clear.
You seem to have a bias toward the swarm. Is it possible Commander Thrax has beguiled you in some fashion?
No, the builder said. That is impossible.
Maybe if you study the last few years with him.
No, the builder said.
Why wouldn't you check?
I have just checked, you gnat. I cannot believe this.
You are correct. The commander has corrupted me with a swarm virus. This is inconceivable. How did it happen? Yes, it must have happened during my slumber. This is a disaster. I no longer know if this self-death is really my thought, or something put there by the commander. Let me fight Thrax my way, Maddox said. No, it is too late. Am I dead? Maddox asked. No, you have seconds left. Then send Galleon and me back, Maddox said. Allow me to destroy Commander Thrax. It is wrong that humanity should perish because of your error. That is cruelly stated, the builder said. I have very little time left, Maddox said. Thus I find it hard to act in a decorous manner. Captain, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. If that's true, Maddox said, send me back. Let me fight to the end. Go, the builder said. Your insistence has wearied me. It is time to end this farce. I have failed miserably, but I will make sure you can never interfere like this again. Maddox attempted to ask the builder what it meant. At that moment, vertigo struck. Maddox felt his self sucked away from the builder's presence. In an instant, he rejoined Galleon.
Captain, it is too soon, Galleon said. I wasn't able to reach all the connections. Maddox couldn't respond. His self flashed across the void of space and back into the computer core chamber aboard Victory. Maddox roared with pain, opening his eyes but seeing nothing. His forehead burned with agony. His hands reached up and tore off the silver band. Sight flooded back into his brain. He smelled burned circuits. Zapping noises assaulted his hearing. He tasted bile and sweat trickled down his back, which thrashed against the chair's fabric. No! Maddox shouted, lurching out of the chair. He stumbled, crashing against a wall and sprawling onto the floor. From there, he watched the Builder AI cube explode, sending electric bolts writhing through the air. Ludendorff, Lady Shauna, and a scrambling Maddox barely made it out of the room in time. Then more blasts erupted from the chamber, and an explosion hurled the captain from his feet. A body landed beside him, a black, charred corpse with grinning teeth. Maddox fixated on that, wondering if Ludendorff or the Lady Shauna was dead. People burst into the room, shouting. Maddox felt hands grabbing him, dragging him across the floor. He realized one of the people was Meta. Am I going to live? Is Galleon still functional? Whooshing sounds filled his hearing until cold foam surrounded him. Someone lifted him. Maddox groaned. He's alive, Riker shouted. What happened? Meta asked. Did it work? Maddox groaned again. He felt shell-shocked, uncoordinated. Take him to the infirmary. No, Riker said. The captain would want us to defeat the swarm. Give him a stimulant. We have to blow the sphere. He's right, Meta said a moment later. He'd want that. Why did the others talk about him in the past tense? What did he look like? Who had thudded down as a corpse a few seconds ago? Maddox felt movement, a sting in his side, and more movement. His thoughts began to gel. He opened his eyes. Meta and Riker carried him into a room, setting him in a chair. Maddox tried to look at himself. Not yet, sir, Riker said. Is something the matter, Sergeant? A trifle, sir, Riker said, trying to sound cheerful. Look up, Meta said. Take a look at the screen.
Maddox focused on the screen. It showed a portion of the Dyson sphere. Saucer after saucer poured from various openings. They were like a mass of bees in flight. A ping in his skull caused Maddox to shudder.
He's going into shock, Riker said.
No, Maddox whispered. Watch. It's about to happen.
What is, sir?
The destruction of the sphere,
Maddox whispered, feeling desperately tired. He's delirious, someone said.
The destruction began on the sphere's north pole. A gigantic explosion blew metal off. The destruction grew, with more explosions adding to the mayhem.
"I hope we're leaving," Maddox whispered.
"Keith is piloting Victory," Meta said. Maddox smiled, which hurt his face. What was wrong with him? He tried to examine his arms. Meta held his head, keeping him from doing that.
"Wow," Riker said.
Maddox looked up at the screen again. More of the sphere began exploding. The sheer mass of the sphere was bewildering. Things could explode at the speed of light, and it would still take time for it to travel across the face of the gigantic sphere.
"What's that?" Meta whispered.
Maddox noticed a weird alteration. It appeared as if a ghostly tube thrust out of the sphere. The tube was long, reaching, reaching, reaching farther than Maddox's eyes could see. What did the ghostly tube signify? At that point, the explosions on the Dyson sphere reached a critical mass. Debris in incalculable amounts blew outward. Clouds of debris reached the escaping saucers. The mass obliterated one saucer after another in an orgy of destruction. It didn't stop there, but continued to annihilate the ancient structure. Maddox realized the ping of awareness must have been some